Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions.
This is Ham Nation, episode 245 for April 27th, 2016. Val's summer vacation. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX, along with most of our regulars here. We've got Don Wilbanks, E5DW. Say hi, Don.
I'm one of the irregulars. Thank you anyway, but I appreciate the kind word. How you doing? We're gonna have our standard Newsline segment a little bit later on tonight. We don't have solar weather. Dr. T has been a little bit under the weather, not the solar weather, but she's not been feeling well. So let's all get together and send some positive energy her way, and hopefully she'll be feeling better and join us back next week, George.
Okay, Don. Sounds good. We'll look for you a little bit later with Newsline. And we've also got our friend Val with us this week, back with some more DX action. Hi, Val.
Hi. I'm back on the heels of Visalia, and tonight in my segment, I'm going to show you how you can win this little QRP transceiver kit. This is in addition to George's segment where he gives out a prize. So stay tuned, and I'll tell you how to win this.
Oh, two prizes for the price of one.
Yeah.
How can you get any better than that? And to top it off, from Costa Mesa, live and in person, it's Gordon West.
Well, hi there, everyone. Gordo here, WB6NOA, all set to head out to the Nevada State Convention in Las Vegas this coming weekend. And they're really working hard to make this a biggie, so it's going to be fun all this weekend. And then a couple weeks later, I end up at near Denver for the Rocky Mountain Convention, working with Amanda. And then after that, you all know what it is. It's the Dayton Hamvention. Well, finally, the extra book is out. All 712 questions. For those of you thinking, do I need to take the extra before it rotates in another couple of months? No, the questions in the new book, and by the way, the new book is also full color. Is that great? The questions in the new extra book reflect revisions, and while there's 100 new questions, they deleted 100 old questions. So it's about the same number of total questions, 712, and the degree of difficulty is not any harder than before. So just get the old current book if you're going for extra before the end of June, or go ahead and get the new book if you plan to do the extra sometime later on this fall. Now, for those of you that have extra, did you know that the commercial general radio operator's license, and I do the book as well, is very close to and many times the exact same questions as extra? And the GROL is what many municipalities are looking for when they are hiring. You show them this, and they're going to be probably putting you at the top of the line for getting employed. But let's take a look at the relationship between the GROL commercial license and those extra class questions. So, Brian, if you don't mind, let's roll the short shots and we'll take a look. First of all, exact duplicate questions on the commercial test as the same as extra class. Here we are, side by side, same exact question, same answers in the same ABCD order. So if you've got extra, for heaven's sake, get the commercial general radio telephone license. It's not any harder than the extra. And this is what you want, the G-R-O-L. It looks good on a resume, and I've got the book out, the only one out, with all the Q&As and explanations. And it's been revised, so you're studying the latest. Now, when you're ready to go out and work your G-R-O-L, if you're near an ocean, you may want to find that ship station inspections is a great way to make anywhere from $75 to $100 an hour. You got to have the right shoes, and you got to be dressed professionally. And when you're ready to go out there and inspect the marine VHF equipment aboard these small party boats, those are boats carrying passengers for hire. They get Coast Guard inspected every 5 years, and they have to have all of the equipment up to par and a signed off statement by you, the GROL operator. Small boats like this, or little water taxis like this, if they go more than 1,000 feet from shore, they have to have a commercial radio telephone inspection and an operator on board. We've got an island called Catalina, and there's the Catalina Flyer that also needs that radio inspection. It'll take you about 3 hours with your commercial GROL license to go over all of the radio equipment. And again, you're on the clock from $75 to $100, maybe even more. You don't need much more than what you probably already have in your ham shack. All of this equipment is common stuff. And we go in there and we make sure that the radio is putting out more than 20 watts after 10 minutes of key down. And that's not key down on the air, but key down on a dummy load. We look at SWR, and we need to make note to that. We look at modulation. Now, this is the MFJ 2-meter modulation deviation meter, but you know it works quite nicely on a spur coming out of the radio up at 156. So if you have one of these, it'll work great. Here's another way to check for modulation. Your time aboard the vessel is looking at frequency to make sure that you are within specification. Because remember, these boats are carrying passengers for hire. You'll need a simple volt ohm meter. Little digital one like this will work great. There's that dummy load for a 10-minute test that's required by the FCC rules. And the Coast Guard looks for your inspection certificate. You should have a marine VHF radio also to make sure that the modulation sounds good. And you can listen to it on your own little portable marine radio. And, of course, sometimes you have to unbundle wires to get at meter measuring points, and you want to put them back. So bring a few of these little tools with you. Then head on down to the boat. Meet the owner or the radio operator on board. Find the right circuit breaker to turn on the marine VHF. That sometimes is a 10-minute job. And one of the first things we check is called a Maritime Mobile Service Identity Number. It's now become a rule for commercial boats. It wasn't before, but this MMSI number is important. And there we see an MMSI number on a unit in marine VHF radio. This is part of the digital selective calling, and we can actually do testing with the United States Coast Guard on a specific DSC, Marine Channel 70 channel. And we enter all this in the logbook, and the maritime industry has automatic identification service. It's very much like our APRS, but it's on marine VHF frequencies, and we can see, much like a radar, the other vessels around us. Even a small whip like this will work quite nicely for AIS. And, of course, what's a ham without a field strength meter? When all else fails, that's a good one. Oh, no! As a ham operator, you know this will never work. And that's the T connection. Once they transmit on one VHF radio into the antenna, This T-connector says, well, let's go ahead and blow up the FET front end on the other radios. So make sure that they don't have any T-connectors trying to attach two radios to one antenna. Same thing for ham. It is death for the other radio and the other radio's receiver. So, and also make sure they don't have any kludges like this on their antenna system. This is to tap off to get a little AM/FM reception on the masthead antenna. Look at that piece of junk. Keep it out of line because that's a weak link for a Marine VHF life-saving radio. We're required to look at the batteries, make sure they're nice and clean, as this one is, or as these are, I should say. And we want to take a look and make sure that the battery charger for the auxiliary battery to run the VHF radio is nice and full and the charger is working properly. And we see a good head of voltage there. Wiggle all the connections. Those of you on digital, you know how those can get loose. And in an emergency, you assure everyone that by pressing the red distress button, the word is going to go out instantly digitally. And within minutes, you'll have a Coast Guard helicopter either overhead or you'll have a U.S. Coast Guard vessel ready to pluck you out of the water. Look at these unhappy souls in the water on a real rescue. They're holding on to a Marine VHF handheld that also has DSC, digital distress calling. So Marine VHF is what we look at. It's what the Coast Guard monitors 24 hours a day throughout all of the United States and selected inland waters. Your GROL license, similar to the extra class, allows you to work on marine radios that without the GROL, you're not permitted to. If it has anything to do with the transmit capability, many times you are interfacing marine electronics to a chart display. That's the ICOM single sideband radio. And sometimes you got to do a little work by holding on with one hand and looking at a radar, make sure everything is okay there. But this is what comes with looking at marine VHF equipment on a commercial vessel that has to be inspected by a GROL operator once every 5 years. Oh, this handheld won't make it. It's on marine VHF channel 02 and a few fish swimming in the display. And, of course, we also check out some of the EPIRBs. This happens to be a personal locator beacon on the right. And for you hunters and trackers, there's the spot unit on the left. These are all on the list to be inspected. And there's Marine Single Sideband, USA-made radio by SGC. And that's on Marine 12 megahertz channel. And the final deal here is the ICOM M802. This is a wonderful marine radio, and you can switch back, Brian, because that ICOM M802 is just as much a ham radio as it is a marine radio. That's right, two radios all built into one. So I encourage all of you, if you've got extra or you're studying for extra, think about getting the commercial GROL license. Get the book and start studying. Same number of questions, about 700 to 800 to look at. And if you've already got your extra class, when you look at the questions in the commercial, you'll say, those are identical. And about 60 to 70% are identical. So that's my story. I'll give you a full report on Nevada Ham Radio Convention this weekend. So, George, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Gordo. And I did have a question for you there. You know, I was watching the chat room there during your segment, and Amanda usually saves the question for the end, but there's one I wanted to know the answer to, and that is, do you require any kind of liability insurance or, you know, what is your responsibility as far as ensuring that everything's okay there?
Well, you're actually signing off a U.S. Coast Guard and FCC-developed checklist. Yes, Don is looking for that checklist now. And, you know, anything you do in life, stepping out the front door, you're liable. I do not have any specific liability insurance, and I'm very cautious when I'm working around these vessels never to really undo anything that's part of their life-saving equipment. So I think if you prudently follow the FCC rules on what to look for and test only for that, I think you'll be good to go without any flashback.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, you know, I've got a GROL myself that I've had for years. It used to be required to work at television stations as a transmitter engineer and at higher power and directional AM stations.
Right.
And it's not required for broadcasting anymore. So I guess marine is the only thing I really know for certain that it's actually required for. Now, I'm sure there's something else, but that's all I know about. Is there something I'm missing there, Gordo?
Marine and aviation, you're absolutely correct, George. No more local broadcasters need to have the engineers like yourself with that first class, now called the GROL license. But, you know, many times when they're hiring new folks, if they don't have the commercial license for servicing land mobile equipment, many times they'll say, unless you have that commercial license, we're not going to hire you, even though we don't have to, by the rules, have that hanging on the wall.
Cool. Well, thanks for the clarification there. I had wondered, you know, if what actually, you know, required that license anymore. Well, I saw Don studying up there in the book. Maybe he will get here soon. Don, you don't have a general, is that correct?
I don't, but I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book. I got about two-thirds of the way through, and I had to put it down because I used up all my crayons. There's a lot of pictures in here, and none of them are in color. And I'm trying to make sure, and, you know, the really pretty crayons I used all up, and the really tasty ones, I ate all those. So I've got to get more crayons. Just fine right there. You notice I'm Natalie attired tonight. I'm wearing my DX Engineering shirt. And that means that if I were going to Dayton, I would probably wear this shirt. But unfortunately, I'm not going to Dayton, but you probably are. And, man, you'd look sharp if you had yourself a DX Engineering shirt. And I happen to know where you can find one. Yeah, dxengineering.com. And they have all kinds of apparel and collectibles, shirts, hats, gifts, gear for hams of any age, size, creed, whatever. Polo shirts. I love this thing. Great for a club event, especially if it calls for like business casual. You got a guest coming in or something. You want to look sharp, or you're maybe presenting something at a club. You want to look nice. This is lightweight, breathable polyester for outdoor, indoor comfort. They come in men's and women's sizes and styles. And because it is the polyester and it breathes really well, and it's not going to soak up any moisture, this would be great for field day, especially if you're in the South. Oh, does it get hot down here? But anyway, great shirt. But they also have all kinds of other stuff like gear bags. You're going to be carrying a ton of stuff around at any Hamfest, especially Dayton. And the tote bag, the gear bag, can fit all your Hamfest handouts, a small QRP radio, your HT, even field day or Dayton munchies. The sport bag is an ideal travel companion. It can hold everything from spare cables and tools to even a change of clothes and extra shoes if you're going to be out tromping around for field day and you find some mud. Or you're in a public area, a park maybe, and you find something that's worse than mud. We know what we're talking about here, huh? The DX Engineering umbrella, great for keeping the sun and the rain off of your neck and your face during field day. It's 36 inches in diameter. It collapses to a small, compact size. It includes a carry pouch, and you can stuff it in one of those aforementioned gear bags. And they also have gear combos. They got a whole thing, a quick way to outfit yourself in style. They include an assortment of gear like hats, bags, folding chairs, shirts, and more. There are six combos in total. DXengineering.com has them all. And, of course, there's National Parks on the Air collectible gear combos as well. If you're going to be participating in that, you can commemorate your participation in this historic event. An assortment of ARRL, NPOTA gifts and accessories. You can choose whether your gear combo includes low-profile NPOTA ball cap or the knit cap. You know, you got summer and winter. It's a year-long thing. The knit cap, perfect for cold weather, operating early morning rag shoes at the campsite, whatever, just looking sharp. And the apparel and collectible section doesn't just contain the DX Engineering gear. You can also find Officially licensed products from the ARRL, t-shirts, stickers, banners, pins, all manner of stuff to make yourself look just as good as your station sounds. DXEngineering.com, that's where you want to go. And, of course, DX Engineering, they're great folks. They ship faster than anybody else in the industry. Mel's in the chat room. Hi, Mel! Hi, Mel! Mel showed me around when I went to Ohio to hang out at DX Engineering. We just had the best time. She's a car girl, by the way. Yeah, she autocrosses Corvettes. Yeah. Anyway, get your shipping in. Call Mel. Get your shipping in. And if you get your order in, your ground order in, by 10 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. It won't be on Mel's Corvette. It'll be on a big truck. But it'll get there just about as fast as if Mel was bringing it to you in the Corvette. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog, shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. We thank them so much for being part of the Ham Nation family. We love DX Engineering. Great folks. And now let's take a pause for the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2008, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 27, 2016. Amateur Radio responds to an earthquake in Ecuador that's being called that nation's most powerful in decades.
As officials continued to revise their counts of Ecuador's dead and injured following the magnitude 7.8 quake on Saturday, the 16th of April, rescue operations stepped up with more than 10,000 troops and 3,500 police. Countless radio amateurs were also mobilized to assist with emergency communication and other vital matters. Hams everywhere were being advised to free up a band on 7.060 MHz for emergency traffic. De-expeditioners were also cautioned to stay below that frequency whilst operating RTTY. In the days following the quake, the emergency frequency, 7.060, was carrying messages around the clock, with Ecuadorian amateurs making use of battery power and mobile stations to assist with recovery communication. Officials reported that power systems and telecommunications were either destroyed or disabled after the tremors. Rafael Correa, Ecuador's president, returned to his devastated nation from a trip to Italy and declared the immediate focus to be on locating survivors. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
As of Amateur Radio Newsline's deadline, there was no word on amateur radio involvement in the deadly magnitude 6.5 earthquake that rocked Japan just a few days earlier on Thursday, April 14th. Those tremors near the city of Kumamoto were considered the strongest since 2011. The Summer Games in Rio don't include radio sport, but things just got a little bit easier for radio amateurs who want to travel to and work the bands from Brazil.
It's expected to be less of a struggle for radio amateurs to operate in Brazil during the 2016 Summer Olympics as a result of eased restrictions on the part of the Brazilian authorities. Regardless of whether an amateur's country has a reciprocal agreement with Brazil, authorizations for those hams will be simplified thanks to an agreement between the authorities and the Brazilian Amateur Radio League, also known as LABRE. The Radio League recently received permission from Brazil's telecommunications regulator, Anatel, to handle the authorizations and without any fees. Interested amateurs should email the Radio League a copy of a valid passport, a copy of your amateur radio license, a list of cities in which you plan to operate and on what dates, and include your email address. The documents should be scanned and sent to the Radio League via email at executiva@labre.org.br. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Every ham needs a teacher or two to guide them on their radio journey, but who teaches the teachers? Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, a chemistry teacher himself, tells us about the ARRL's Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, where the application deadline is rapidly closing in.
There are only a few more days left for teachers to submit their applications to the ARRL Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, which is preparing to present its summer coursework for the 13th year. The Professional Development Seminar offers teachers guidance on presenting radio science to their students at levels starting as young as elementary school. The classes include robotics, radio science, satellite communications, weather science, microcontroller programming, and basic electronics. All expenses are paid. Coursework is available at increasing complexity right through the university level. The Institute holds its classes at different locations throughout the country. But the deadline to apply is May 1st. If you're interested but still haven't put in your application, you can download the form from the webpage for the ARRL Teachers Institute at ARRL.org. If you have additional questions, contact ARRL Education Services Manager Deborah Johnson, K1DMJ, at djohnson@arrl.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
And finally, another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. More info and the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right. Hey, George, there's some other DX Engineering folks in the chat room. Bob, W5OV is in there as well. A lot of DX Engineering people in the chat room. And by the way, there is no... there's no validity to the rumor that his call sign, the phonetics, are Oy Vey. There's no validity there whatsoever. It's not, probably not true. Probably not true. Chances are it's not, but could be.
Well, what can you say? Well, thanks
probably
for that, Don.
I've said too much now.
Maybe so. But that's never stopped you before.
Well, yeah.
All right, well, I got a...
is anyone else not hearing George?
Yeah,
did
nope,
you mute
not
yourself?
Hearing George.
I think I muted myself.
Oh.
You did. It must be that sunburn, George.
It must be, yeah. It's been hot here this week, and I have been out in the sun some.
Yes,
We're installing a triplexer for three 5,000-watt AM stations so they can all operate off a single tower. That's an interesting project, and I'll have to bring some footage or something from that. But I want to talk about something Bob was talking about, RFI, last week, and about balance, you know, spelled B-A-L-U-N, balanced to unbalanced. Or you can turn it around backwards and go unbalanced to balanced, but you still call it a balun. Anyway, he got an email from a viewer, Tom Nolan, W3EX, and Tom wrote he was listening to Ham Nation and heard him talking about balance, and he had a considerable amount of trouble with RF and his audio. A friend, W3BV, told him about a one-to-one inline feedline isolation balun. After recently configuring his ham shack, or reconfiguring it, and I think we got a picture of some balance here, which included not grounding anything. He says he added one of the units to his main feed line going to the tower, and he no longer has any RFI issues in the shack. It would be interested in knowing what Bob thought about these devices. And I think Bob is not here, but I know he would give it a big thumbs up. These do work. As a matter of fact, I'm using a one-to-one balun here on my 80-meter loop. I really didn't have to have it, but using it on there, it did decrease some of the RFI coming back into the shack here. And there's some there from DX Engineering. Usually, you know, we'll use a four-to-one or something like that on certain antennas, off-center-fed dipoles and different ones. But a one-to-one, if you've got a 50-ohm antenna, and you're going to 50-ohm transmission line, a one-to-one just, it doesn't really change the impedance of the antenna, but it gives you some isolation from it there. So thanks for that email, Tom. Well, I've got a video this week. It comes from our friend Larry, WD0AKX, and he talked about a mode that I've seen in a lot of software before. I think even my old TNC back in the 90s, might have had this mode in it. Not positive about that, but I've never seen it operated before, and it looks pretty doggone neat. So let's take a look at NavText from Larry.
Hi, Larry, WD0AKX. This is for the hams and shortwave listeners out there that might like to try something new that they haven't tried before. Maybe some of you have, but it's kind of fun to play around with for a little while. And it's called Navigational Telex, or Navtex. Now, this is an automated service by the Coast Guard to put out warnings and forecasts to ships. So let's go over to my other radio here that's interfaced with my computer and see what's going on. Now, you need to have your receiver audio interfaced to your computer through the sound card or an external sound card. I'm using a SignalLink USB. That's another topic, though. You want to tune to 517 kilohertz in upper sideband mode. If you have an interest, there's a lot of information by searching Navtex on your computer, more than I'm going to go into on this video. The Navtex transmissions are on 518 kilohertz. I tuned to 517 in upper sideband mode for my decoding software. You can see the waterfall display displaying the signal I'm receiving, and it is printing out and decoding.
To southwest lines 15 to 25, KDC 62. 9 feet, Saturday, night, ..
This program has an automated voice I can turn on and off. It might be good for sight impaired. It doesn't do too well with all the abbreviations in this mode, though, so most of the time I don't use that. I will turn that back off. The program I'm using here is called Multi-PSK. It works well for me, and I select the mTOR FEC Navtex mode. And you can see the waterfall display showing the signal is quite strong right now, so it's decoding quite well. There's other software out there you can use too, such as FL Digi. This one here just seems to work good in this mode for me. If you don't hear a signal on the air right away, you might have to listen in for a while because they transmit in different time slots, so they're not all transmitting at the same time. They kind of take turns. So you might hear a strong station, and then it might be a while. You might hear a weak station later. So you have to have a little bit of patience. I just happened to catch the stronger station, so it's decoding quite well, as you can see. This is more of a nighttime band. In the evenings, if you don't have a lot of static or local noise, you can hear signals out several hundred miles. In the daytime, you probably won't hear much farther than about 100 miles away from you. And as you might know, this frequency is just below the AM broadcast band, standard radio broadcast band, so it behaves a lot like that. As you know, in the evenings you can hear a lot farther out. And the antenna is also important. Too much to go into in this short video, but you do want to have an antenna that will receive below the AM broadcast band, of course. And not all radios will cover this frequency range either, but most of your more modern HF rigs and shortwave receivers do. So there is a brief look at Navtex. Hope you enjoyed. Thanks for watching in 7-3. If you want to have some more fun with that, be sure to Google that name and do some research. All right, I'll start this over.
I know how you feel, Larry. Happens to me all the time. Well, thanks for that. Navtex looks like a great mode, and I'm glad you explained it for us there. Well, on the line here, we just happen to have one of our other Ham Nation hosts here. It's Dr. Bob Heil. Hi, Bob.
Hi, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. We are in California, Burbank, I think it is, at Mates Rehearsal Hall. And we're here about 2 hours after Joe Walsh and the whole band has been rehearsing. And I was hoping to catch Joe, but he was leaving. He had to go get ready for tomorrow. We do this again tomorrow. But I'm standing in the rehearsal hall. This is what one looks like. It's set up just as a concert. Here's the monitor console and all kinds of amplifiers, wireless microphones and things. And we'll move around here a little bit. Might make you dizzy as I move, but this is how it all looks. And this is set up just as you would normally see in a concert situation, and they get to rehearse here for, they'll rehearse about 4 days here. Tomorrow we put up all of the Heil microphones, that's what we're here for. But everything's running so far very good. They rehearsed the whole program, and I got to show you his synthesizer. You know, he was on the show with us, if you remember, some time ago, and this is just a portion of that synthesizer they're using. And, of course, Hammond B3 and piano and all that. The really cool thing is Joe Vitale is playing drums on this show, and Joe was the drummer for Barnstorm. So it's kind of a reunited of the three of us. And for all of you interested, this is where Joe stands, and there's all of his pedals and controls and, of course, the famous talk box. And I think I got this okay. And then here is, I'll let you see the rundown of what's going to play. So if you go see one of the concerts on the tour, there's what you're going to hear. And that's what they've been rehearsing all day. And Joe has been making notes on his own sheet. There's his PR35. But that's how it goes here in the good old rehearsal hall. There's Mark back there. What are you doing, Mark? You're replacing. You didn't blow a speaker, did you?
No, we're just going to try to get a different sound.
Oh, a different sound. Yes, that's at Eminence, yes.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, Mark. Say hi to everybody.
How are you doing? This is my good friend, Bob Heil. We go a long way back, Bob and I.
We do.
We have
a lot of fun doing this kind
of
stuff.
We do.
Yeah, it never ends. But that's how it goes in a rehearsal hall. And boy, if you really want to take a walk, this is kind of interesting. And girls, see this large room where they're rehearsing. But over here on one side are the guitars. These are, well, how many do you have, Mark? Mark takes care of all, and you'll see in a concert, he'll run out and change guitars. Well, Mark's that guy. And there's 19 here. And these are all different tuned, different sounds for different songs. And Mark and Joe have worked that all out. And this is where Mark sits. He's got his little workstation, and he tunes each guitar before it goes to Joe. And there's his little... the bins with all the parts and things that he has to have. And then he'll run out and take the different guitars to Joe. Here in the rehearsal hall is kind of interesting. The front of the house, what you saw was the monitor console that goes on stage. But the front of the house, and to make that work in a rehearsal hall, we're going to take a walk.
Well, looks like we're losing Bob's signal here. So,
yeah, it looks like the front of the house.
Part of the house. Let me see here. Better get some lights.
And yeah, now he's gone. So I guess I'll try and call him back. But it looks like maybe wherever he's going, there's poor cell reception.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you can get him back, that's great. Just break in whenever. In the meantime, I've got some stuff I can give away here. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. You know, last week I showed PlastiPair, that mixture of powder and liquid you put together and you could make plastic parts with or repair plastic.
Hold on.
And I asked a question, what will you fix with PlastiPair? Boy, I had a lot of good answers on this. I'll just give you a couple here. Scott said that he'd use it to fix several knobs on his boat anchor collection. A lot of people said they would fix knobs with it. We also had Wayne, N9IBN, said that the tip of his battery door broke on his Coolpix camera, and he had to send it in for repair twice now. He accidentally dropped the camera, and that tip is a weak spot. So thanks very much. He's going to give it a try on that. But one that really popped out here to me that I think we're going to have to give the prize to is Marvin, and he said PlastiPair looks like in an extreme emergency it could be used to repair dentures. And correct, Marvin. As a matter of fact, the smell of that PlastiPair liquid, if you've ever been to the dentist and had a temporary crown made, those two things are awful lot alike. I tried doing some research to see if I could buy some material for making temporary crowns, that might be the same, but couldn't come up with it. But the smell is the same, so I know it's very similar stuff there. Well, Marvin, we're going to give you this MFJ volt ammeter. It's the MFJ 4422, 3.5 volts to 30 volts DC, up to 30 amps. Great for putting in your mobile or putting with your Go Kit. Keep up with your voltage and your current draw as you go along. Congratulations. For next week, we've got another prize, and this one comes from DX Engineering. It's the Contest University textbook in the 2005 edition here, so you can catch up on your studies from last year. By the way, Contest University is sold out this year. So if you got a seat, congratulations. If you didn't, well, maybe you can get the 2016 textbook when it's available. But if you'd like to win this, then answer the question from me. Who are the premier sponsors of Contest University? And they'll be familiar to you, I believe. So send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. Brian, did we get Bob back?
We did. We do. We got Bob here.
Well, sorry about that. The Wi-Fi here is crazy, but I'm out in the hall where all the cases start, and we start loading the trucks. But I just wanted to say hi to everybody. Miss you all. And hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks. We'll see how it all goes. But this is what happens in rehearsal halls. And when I talk about it, well, maybe you can get an idea what we do. It's a grueling, grueling time for all the crew and musicians. So this is where it happens. So 7-3, everybody have fun from Burbank and Mates recording rehearsal halls and studios. They also have a recording studio here. This is Bob Heil, K9EID.
Well, thanks, Bob. Good stuff. Yeah, great to see a little background tour there of what's actually in a rehearsal hall. I had no idea really what to expect, if it was a big open arena or just a small studio type setting. So thanks for showing us that. Well, now let's get a message from one of our sponsors and possibly a premier sponsor.
Spring is here. Get out, get mobile with ICOM's D-Star radios. Extend your coverage, display, and capabilities without sacrificing size with ICOM's ID51A+, now in five colors. RSMS1A free download Android application allows personal device connection where you can view locations of repeater sites, send and receive text messages, or send and receive pictures. It's got DV and FM repeater search functions, D-Star DV mode capability, and micro SD card slot. If you're new to D-Star, try ICOM's ID880H. Features include VHF-UHF dual-band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure, and easy programming. Fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. For the ultimate D-Star mobile experience, hit the road with ICOM's ID5100A. This radio offers hands-free operation, optional Bluetooth capability, large backlit screen for high-contrast viewing, and 50 watts of output power on both VHF and UHF. Visit ICOMAmerica.com for more information on ICOM's D-Star radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats and a whole bunch of other stuff. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation for the official rules and also learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing, which will be for an ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. Does analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receive, free CS80/880 cloning software, and a lot more. ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Val, what have you got for us this week? I know it's something special.
Well, I don't know about that because it's probably a little narcissistic, but I thought I'd show you what happened on my summer vacation. Go ahead and roll it, Brian. What I Did on My Vacation by Valerie Hotzfeld.
The first day of my vacation, I woke up.
Then I flew to California to do the show live from the Twit Studios. And there's a look at Brian trying to rule the world from his underground lair. The second day of my summer vacation, we went surplus shopping in Silicon Valley. The first stop on our tour, Access Solutions in San Jose. Now, this is a ham radio operator's dream. They have anything and everything electronic, and it's all perfectly organized and cataloged. We literally could have spent hours just at this one location. But nope, we're off to our next stop. And so we head to the next town over, Santa Clara and Anchor Electronics. Now, this is a retail store, but again, ham heaven. And luckily, Jerry and I flew to California, didn't drive. Otherwise, our car would probably be full right now, and I'd have to put Jerry up on the roof with Aunt Edna.
Oh, no. You can't put her up on that roof.
It's not as if it's going to rain or something.
So we head down the road a piece, still Santa Clara, to HSC Electronic Supply. Now, these guys have been in business for over 50 years, and they have some really cool vintage ham radios and electronic equipment. A lot of stuff on display, but plenty to sell in the back. And look at that. Steve Jobs bought a Heathkit scope from them back in 1969 when he was a teenager. But there you go. There's a look at all the stuff they have in the warehouse in the back, as well as stuff for sale, obviously, out front. But daylight's a-burning, and we're off. Now, just up the road from Santa Clara, we're in Sunnyvale, California, at Fry Electronics. Now, we don't have these by us, so I was kind of very impressed with how huge this store is. I mean, it has anything and everything you can think of electronics. But along the walls, they have all these old photographs of Silicon Valley back in the early days. Now, I couldn't take all the photos, especially since Tim Duffy and I almost got kicked out for going into a restricted area, but it's definitely worth the visit to see all these really cool vintage photographs from the golden era of computers. And our tour wouldn't be complete without a stop at HRO. And look, they even have a Heil Sound banner in the background. And that completed day two of our vacation. Next day, next stop, Visalia. And here we are at the International VX Convention in Visalia. There's the outdoor Saturday barbecue. Everybody got that free with their paid registration. Lots of vendors, lots of great seminars and forums, even one by Dr. Bob Heil himself on audio. There were also Q&As. There were slideshow presentations of different DX expeditions that happened that year. Friday, they had DX University. Saturday night, a huge banquet. Tons of people, tons of fun, everything DX. And normally this would be the end of our vacation, but oh no, our flight was delayed 24 hours, so darn it, we had to ride home in a 787 Dreamliner with our own individual sleeping pods.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty darn cool, getting upgraded to a sleeping pod, I got to tell you. Now, when we were on the trek, HSC was one of the places we stopped, and they have these great little kits. They're $14.95. They got three locations, Sacramento, Santa Clara, and Rahner Park. But I'm going to be giving away this little homebrew kit on Facebook. So you got to go to Ham Nation on Twit's Facebook page, and I'm going to post in there a way you can win this, and I will send this off to you. I know it's not very expensive, but I'm on a budget, you know, single mom on all. So that's that for that. And let's take a look at this week's DX report. And it's time for this week's
edition
of the DX Files. Well, some of you may know how hard it is to get through to Monk Apollo when he's on Mount Athos in his monastery. Well, now you have double the chances to work Mount Athos because Monk Lakavos just got licensed, Sugar Victor 2 RSG, and he'll be operating from his monastery. By the way, there's 20 monasteries on Mount Athos. Also coming up, Burkina Faso. That's actually going on now through May 15th in Africa. And X-Ray Tango 2 Alpha Whiskey is the call sign. And the gentleman's name is Harold Becker. He's actually from Germany, Delta Fox 2 Whiskey Oscar. Also coming up, we have Ogaswara, JD1BLY. And that'll be April 30th through May 5th. The gentleman that's going is working on a weather project there. He's originally from Japan, but he'll be operating there for a little bit, JD1BLY. And there's a shot of him working on an antenna. And for those of you IOTA chasers or anyone needing Bahrain, Hawar Island's going to be active anytime now. And they're Alpha 91 Hotel India, and they're only going to be there till May 1st, but there's 10 team members, and that's Alpha Sierra 202 for you IOTA chasers. And that's it for DX Files. And also I wanted to mention too, American Samoa, they're on the air, and that's Kilo Hotel 8 stroke Kilo Charlie 0 Whiskey. And he's been on American Samoa, so not a lot of people go there, so good time to catch that one. And coming up this weekend, big CUSO party, Florida CUSO party going on. That's a really big one. And next weekend, we have two big CUSO parties, the New England CUSO party, as well as 7QPs, the 7th Call Area CUSO party. So not a lot of big contests, but a lot of CUSO parties, so to keep you active and on the air. And that's all I've got for this week. So I'm going to send it over to Don, who's going to tell you all about drugs, I think.
Well, you know, life's more interesting when you're medicated. And that brings us to PillPack. No, not really. But anyway, PillPack is a great, it's an online pharmacy. And all of your pills come in one of these guys right here. So no more having, you know, 400 individual bottles that you can't open anyway. Or, you know, putting them all in the little clamshell 7-day, oh, God, it's just the worst. You got to get PillPack, full-service online pharmacy that will make you wonder why you ever settled for traditional pharmacies. You'll never have to wait around for your prescriptions, sort your own pills, chase down your doctors for the refills again. The pharmacist takes care of everything for you. And they use advanced technology to sort all your meds and your vitamins by date and by time for each dose. You can also order creams and inhalers, diabetic supplies, which come in refrigerated, easy-to-open packages. Shipping is always free. And traveling is, besides keeping everything in one spot, traveling is great. I mean, you're going to be going to Dayton. And, you know, if like a lot of us, you've got medications that you take on a regular basis, you just come back to me, Brian. I want to show you something real quick. You strip off a week's worth of these guys right here and throw them in your bag, okay? And isn't that a lot more elegant than the silly clamshell thing that you got to refill every time? And what if you're going to the beach and you got to take, I don't know, a certain medication, say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're going to be on the beach? Well, you don't have to worry about sand or moisture or anything. You just throw one of these in your beach bag, whatever it is that you have to take that day. They're all completely sealed and you don't have to worry about contamination or anything else. Everything is right here on the front. You can see through the back, tells you exactly what it is. It's great. And the pharmacist, and I just want to let you know about that. It's the best thing for traveling. Absolute best thing for traveling. Shipping, by the way, always free. And their pharmacists are available 24/7. You can speak with them anytime from the privacy of your own home, or even if you're on the go. Call them from the beach. Call them from Hamvention if you need to. PillPack has truly designed their pharmacy to make your life easier, and they have very quickly disrupted the traditional pharmacy industry. They are paying attention, people. What's great is that PillPack is compatible with most major insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. The service is free. That means you only pay copays set by your insurance provider. I want you to go to pillpack.com/twit and sign up. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it now if you want, or wait till after the show, but you got to do it. pillpack.com/twit. 5 minutes, you'll be started. And when you use our link and transfer your prescriptions to PillPack, you'll get credit for $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. pillpack.com/twit. They're a fine sponsor of this particular program, and we do appreciate them so much. And we appreciate Amanda as well, because she tries to bring a little bit of class and decorum. And following me, that's a hard thing to do. So let's talk about the chat room, shall we, Amanda? How are you tonight, baby?
Good evening, everybody. So nice to be here. Let's see. Couple of questions. George, is George with us?
Yes.
Hey.
Okay. I think. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, you guys dropped out. Okay. This is a Balin question. Tinker Toy wants to know, would a one-to-one Balin help with RF noise leaking in a feed line? They're getting high noise in their antenna on HF.
Possibly. Yeah, it's something you'd have to try. I'm not sure I exactly understand the question. Is it noise from something else coming into the feed line? If it's actually, well, you'd have to try it and see. I don't know. What do you think, Gordo?
Yeah, if the noise is external, like power line noise that one of our viewers asked about today, boy, that's a tough one. I don't think the Balin, even a one-to-one, is going to help. But if the noise is somehow getting into the coax, and depending where that Balin is, it might help. So I agree with George. Try it. See what happens.
Okay, that sounds good. And now I got to adjust my light here. All right, feeling better. Okay, the next question, Gordo, this is for you and about the GROL. If performing marine radio equipment tests, do you require proof of recent certification or proof of calibration for your test equipment?
The FCC nor the Coast Guard requires calibration paperwork. But, you know, it's always safe to keep great notes and now and then calibrate your gear and just have that available. I've never, ever had someone ask me about calibration, but you're right. It's good to keep records and document.
Okay, very good. And Brian, this is actually a question for you. So one of our very regular chat people was in, and she was abbreviating a very long word, and she used all caps and got booted out. And the kind of the question was, how come not all of us get booted out because we're using all caps for our call signs all the time in chat? Do you know, Brian?
That is a good question. I don't moderate the chat, so I don't have a very clear answer. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that we don't allow all caps when we're just doing regular chat. So maybe if the only thing that you have when you type something out is all caps, that's why it would get blocked. So you could try doing some caps and some not caps and see if that gets you from not being blocked. But I can find out and get more specific maybe next show.
We want justice for Mel. No, I'm kidding. No, she's such a great commenter, and she always has so much to add to the chat room. I think she was a little shocked that she got kicked out. So sorry, Mel. It happens to the best of us.
It wasn't personal, I'm sure.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I said the TwitBot got her. I think if you use the caps in conjunction with a sentence, instead of just saying, like for me, instead of going AE5DW, I would say my call is AE5. Or instead, you know, someone says, hey, what's your favorite mode? And someone jumps up and says APRS. You're probably going to get to say, I love APRS, you know, and not all caps. I think as long as you have a mixture and it looks like a sentence, I don't think the TwitBot's going to catch that. Just kind of watching the chat room. That's kind of what I figured out. So,
okay. And I think adding the letter or the numbers in your call sign probably keeps it from seeing all caps.
Probably so.
So anyhow, you guys, I've been researching some cool apps for your phones, and I wanted to go over one that I found that a lot of you homebrewers are really going to like. And Jeff's going to put up my phone to the camera here, and we're going to experiment a little bit on how well this is going to go for a second. But the name of the app is called Every Circuit. Is it going to focus on it? Focus. So anyhow, this is kind of a community-based app, and it has all kinds of circuits in it. So for instance, you can learn about circuits. This is a great way if you're learning for your going for your extra, just to learn about capacitors, resistors, and several different things. See, oh, it even animates it for you.
Wow.
Now,
that's slick.
It is kind of slick. And this is free, and it's for iOS and Android and Windows. And not only that, but you can take other people's community stuff. Oh, thank you, Brian. And you can go to the community, find a simple board, something you want to work on, and start dragging and dropping different things that you might want to make out of their basic circuit board and stuff. So it's pretty cool and pretty helpful. And I think everyone could benefit from using that. So I just kind of wanted to go over that. Free, they do ask you to sign up, and that's about it. So I hope you guys download it and enjoy it. Other than that, you guys, that's all I have. I'm so glad Bob joined us tonight. That was fun and pretty cool. And that's all I've got. So, George, I'll send it back to you.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Amanda. Ivory Circuit, that looks pretty interesting. I'll have to go check that out. There's a number of circuit simulators out there on the Internet. But, you know, there's always more coming, and really can't have too many. Well, great show tonight. Glad you could all be with us. It was good to see Bob dropping in from the rehearsal studio. I did notice when he was talking to his buddy there who was installing a speaker, what he had on his workbench. It's one of these right here. Our favorite Weller cheap soldering station. Works like a champ for $50. How can you beat that? Well, we hope you enjoyed it, and you'll join us again next week. And I don't even know what we're doing next week, but we'll find out then. So before we go, let's take a final round of check-ins here from everyone. Gordo, any final words or comments or wisdom?
I hear great activity on 40 meters, so we'll meet you on 40 as I head out to Las Vegas for the Nevada Ham Radio Convention this weekend. So see you on 40. Don't know where, but I'll tune around.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I didn't catch the frequency either. Don, what about you?
I thought I saw 7181, but I could be wrong. I thought that's what I saw, so just tune around and see. I don't know, just my normal, you know, normal bag of foolishness. My wife just got home from work, so I'm going to go say hi to her and see what's going on the TV. So I will say goodnight to all of you, and we love you so much for being part of our Ham Nation group here.
Okay, Don. Yeah, the normal bag of foolishness always seems to work, so keep that close by. Amanda, good to see you tonight. Any final words?
Oh, you know, I'll be looking for the Nets tonight, and looks like 7181. I'm also going to be jumping on Echolink and D-Star. And not only that, you guys, if you lose the frequencies here in chat, don't forget we're now on Twitter and Facebook. So check there as well, and we'll be updating on frequency changes if needed. So that's all I have, you guys, 73, and I hope to hear you on the air.
All right, 73, Amanda. And 20 meters, I did not see a frequency or any information on that. If it's on, it's probably around 14.268. Echo Link star to drop in star node number 355-800 and D-Star reflector 14 module C. Thanks for being here. Join us again next week, 73 from W5JDX.
73, sorry for the background QRM here.